Ridge United Methodist Church, 1209 North Davis Street, Pea Ridge, Arkansas. We hope this message will provide both meaning and inspiration for your life. Listen now for today's message.
Now our call to worship. In God's realm, weakness becomes strength. Emptiness becomes complete. Fear grows into courage. The foolish learn wisdom. The wise learn God's foolishness. The great are humbled and the humble are lifted up. In God's steadfast love, all things are made whole. We will worship the God of wisdom and truth. Let us sing before the Lord glad songs of thanksgiving. Affirmation of faith. We believe in God the Father, infinite in wisdom, power, and love, whose mercy is over all his works, and whose will is ever directed to his children's good. We believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God and Son of Man, the gift of the Father's unfailing grace, the ground of our hope, and the promise of our deliverance from sin and death. We believe in the Holy Spirit as the divine presence in our lives, whereby we are kept in perpetual remembrance of the truth of Christ and find strength and help in time of need. We believe that this faith should manifest itself in the service of love as set forth in the example of our blessed Lord, to the end that the kingdom of God may come upon the earth. Amen. Our first scripture text comes from the 45th chapter of Genesis, verses 1 through 15. Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all those who stood by him, and he cried out, "Send everyone away from me." So no one stayed with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard it, and the house of Pharaoh heard it. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him. So dismayed were they at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come closer to me." And they came closer. He said, "I am your brother, Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are 5 more years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me. Do not delay. You shall settle in the land of Goshen and you shall be near me, you and your children, and your children's children, as well as your flocks, your herds, and all that you have. I will provide for you there, since there are 5 more years of famine to come, so that you and your household and all that you have will not come to poverty. And now your eyes and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see that it is my own mouth that speaks to you. You must tell my father how greatly I'm honored in Egypt and all that you have seen. Hurry and bring my father down here.' Then he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, while Benjamin wept upon his neck. And he kissed all his brothers and wept upon them. And after that, his brothers talked with him." If you have your Bibles, join me as we read our scripture text from the 15th chapter of Matthew, verses 21 through 28. Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then, a Canaanite woman from the region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It's not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I'm glad you're here with us this morning, for I have a few things I want to say to you. You have to listen. A bicycle can't stand on its own because it's too tired. A chicken crossing the road is poultry in motion. A boiled egg in the morning is hard to beat. The short fortune teller who escaped from prison was a medium at large. Once you've seen one shopping center, you've seen them all. When an actress saw her first strands of gray hair, she thought she'd die. Bakers trade bread recipes on a need-to-know basis. Marathon runners with bad footwear suffer the agony of defeat. I'm sure that several of you are smiling, but I'm not really sure that got to you what I just said, so listen a little bit carefully this time and digest what I'm saying. A bicycle can't stand on its own because it is too tired. A boiled egg in the morning is hard to beat. Once you've seen one shopping center, you've seen a mall. Bakers trade bread recipes on a need-to-know basis. You see, Americans are not considered to be very good listeners, mostly because we're too busy talking ourselves. We want to make sure that the other person hears our point and understands what we're saying, but sometimes it takes something really dramatic to get our attention. This morning's story is of the Canaanite woman and her demon-possessed daughter. It's dramatic outright, and it gets our attention, but at first glance, we are left wondering, is this the Jesus I know? The Jesus of love and compassion? It's difficult to find a harsher and more unfeeling reply in the four Gospels than that which our Lord made to the Canaanite woman. In our present climate, if someone just overheard the first part of this Gospel reading, Jesus would be finished. That's according to Richard McMullen. But if we listen to the story, we might just learn a few things about God and ourselves. Verse 21 says that Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. You know, Jesus had been a very busy man. He had fed 5,000 men and Lord knows how many women and children. And he healed the lame, the sick, and the afflicted. He tried to rest but got little time alone, and he had rescued his disciples from a storm. Tyre and Sidon are 50 miles north of the Sea of Galilee, and it's a long walk, and we're not sure why he goes there. It's the farthest north that he will travel, and the only time in this gospel that he goes outside of the Jewish Samaritan territory, except to escape Herod as a baby and to visit Gadara. Perhaps God leads him there just so that we might enjoy the story of this remarkable, faith-filled Canaanite woman. Verse 22 takes us to the Canaanite woman as she came out and she started shouting at Jesus and the disciples. You see, Canaanites were bitter enemies of the Jews. They were a loose company of tribes with a checkered history with them. Noah cursed his son, who would become the ancestor of Canaan, to be a slave to his brother. After entering the Promised Land, the Israelites suffered the Lord's greatest wrath for mingling with the barbaric pagan Canaanites, for adopting their customs, culture, and idols. The last Old Testament prophecy concerning Canaanites is found in Zechariah. It was a damning exclusion of the Canaanites in the house of the Lord Almighty. And now we find Jesus in the middle of these pagans, choosing to go to them, and this woman, this Canaanite, is shouting at him. In the Greek, the word means cry out, to scream, to screech. This woman was demanding Jesus' attention by the sheer volume and the audacity of the words that she yelled. "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David." She addresses Jesus as both Lord and the Son of David, words a Jew might use for the Messiah. Only once before has Jesus heard such words, even from his own disciples. Here was a Canaanite woman, an outsider, a non-Jew, acknowledging Jesus as the Messiah. Her words contrast those of the Pharisees and the scribes, the Jews to whom Jesus was sent. She understood what they were there to see. The clarity of her vision, despite the blindness of the Pharisees and the scribes, contrasts with the disciples' lack of vision to see Jesus as the Son of God. Her words and demeanor are ones of reverence and faith. In verse 23, we hear that Jesus didn't answer at all. It doesn't make much sense that we have just this tremendous expression of Jesus as Messiah, and Jesus just sits there and he refuses to answer the woman. And throughout the New Testament, we see that Jesus always responds to cries for mercy and salvation and healing. And this time he was silent, and it was stunning and awkward and yet disturbing. The disciples beseech and beg Jesus to send her away. It's not clear whether they just wanted him to get rid of her or give her what she wanted. Either way, they probably would have been happy as long as she stopped bothering them. But notice that in his silence, though, Jesus doesn't just walk away from her. He doesn't turn his back on her. He doesn't desert her. Instead, he speaks to the disciples and offers her an invitation of hope. Verse 24 brings forth silence. Have you ever known how silence can be motivating? That it causes to react, to move, to do something? I mean, if I'm in the back of a room and all of a sudden my house gets silent, you bet that I'm going to move and hustle, find what's going on as fast as I can. If you're in a group and all of a sudden things become quiet, silent, people begin to look around looking for someone to speak up or to break the awkwardness of the silence. Then all of a sudden, everybody speaks at the same time. And in his silence, the Canaanite woman is motivated. She goes to her knees before Jesus. Verses 25 and 26, Jesus calls this woman a dog. Did you hear what I said? Did you hear it when I read the scripture? It's not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. At this point, if it were you or I, we'd be all over Jesus. We'd be in his face. Who do you think you are calling me a dog? I'm no less than anyone else. I have so much right to be treated right and blessed as anyone else. I have as much right to have my prayers answered as the preacher does. The Canaanite woman doesn't get upset. In fact, in Jesus' word, she hears the hope of an invitation. You see, the Jews were referred to the Canaanites as dogs. Is meant as an insult, you wild, savage, undisciplined, unlovable beast. But the word Jesus uses here isn't the word for a vicious street dog, but the word for a pet, a house dog. Pets are not outsiders, but insiders. They not only belong to the family, but are part of the family. To you and I, it still seems a miserable existence, a sad invitation, but to this woman, it was an invitation for her to come into the house, to become part of the family, to be loved and cared for, to sit under the table, to be fed by hand. It was Jesus' way of testing her invitation to come, if she would only listen, if she really believed, if she really understood. He knew that she would hear his invitation. The woman heard it all right, and she turned right back around onto Jesus. Verse 27, you can almost see the gleam in her eyes, can't you? The smile on her lips as she turns the play on words back to Jesus, saying, "Yes, Lord, I am a dog compared to you and your glory." She humbly comes to him, acknowledging his lordship, acknowledging him as the Messiah. "I'm not worthy to be your pet, your house dog, your child, but you're so rich in blessing and goodness that even a crumb will be enough to heal my daughter." She's a quick thinker, and it almost seems as if she's playing a word game with Jesus and getting the better of him, that in her persistence and begging, she got what she wanted. But that's not the case. The woman had a tremendous faith that led her to worship God. She came and knelt before him and asked the Lord to help her. She came with a sense of reverence, not as equal, but as a wretched human before a great and holy God. And in verse 28, we see that God rewards her for her faith. Have you ever felt that God was silent? That God wasn't answering your prayers? That he wasn't even listening to you? That you were alone in the wilderness of darkness and silence? In fact, you're not alone. In the Bible, we find stories, instances of when people feel God was ignoring them, silent and unresponsive to their pleas for help and mercy. You know, Job, he lost his family, he lost his health, he lost the confidence of his wife, he lost his wealth, and he wondered why God didn't speak to him. God promised Abraham a son and then was silent on the issue for 100 years. Look into the life of David, a man after God's very heart, begging for an answer. Psalms 4:1, answer me, O God. The 13th Psalm, O Lord, how long will you forget me? Forever? How long will you look the other way? How long must I struggle with the anguish in my soul and with my sorrow in my heart every day? How long will my enemy have the upper hand? Turn and answer me, O Lord, my God. After the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi, was written, after all the prophecies and promises of the Old Testament had been foretold, there was a span of about 400 years called the silent years. Seemed when God had put the entire world on hold, when God seemed unresponsive and silent to everybody's pleas. And greater still was the God's silence when Jesus hung on the cross. He cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? There was no booming voice, no shout from heaven. Jesus seemingly suffered and died in the silence of God. I've seen a lot of people in the midst of silence beat themselves up, feeling like God rejected them because they had sinned, because they were not good enough for God. Let me tell you something. God is not ignoring you. He has not turned his back on your prayers. The scripture has several examples that will assure us of that. John 9:31 says that he is ready to listen to those who worship him and do his will. Psalms 34:15 reads that the Lord watches over those who do right. His ears are open to their cries for help. Psalms 66:19 declares, but God did listen. He paid attention to my prayer. The 102nd Psalm, he will hear his forsaken people and listen to their prayers. Some people claim and argue that an unanswered prayer is because of a person's lack of faith, because of sin in their life. How sad that they don't understand that faith is not proven true by answered prayer, but by unanswered prayer that does not make us waver or give up on God. In God's silence, he is not rejecting you or I. He's calling us to listen, as the theological author David Augsburger puts it, an open ear is the only believable sign of an open heart. In the silence of the moment, the Canaanite woman didn't give up. She didn't run away. She didn't cry and blame God. She went to her knees. She moved closer to him. She sought to be in his presence in a more intimate way. She placed herself at his feet and listened to his words. She heard Jesus' invitation and accepted it humbly because she believed in who he was. She demonstrated the depth of her faith, even in the midst of the silence and the sufferings of her child. This morning, in closing, there are no cute stories. There's no emotional illustrations, only silence. In the silence,
You, I pray, hear, read, and know His word, that you may hear His invitation to you to come, to be baptized, to maybe join the fellowship of our church, or to follow Him in ministry, or to share your faith, or just to simply sit at His feet and humbly worship Him. And may you hear God's words praising you, saying, "Great is your faith." I pray that in the moments of life, when God seems so silent to you, when the silence seems deafening and painful, that you will go into Him and you worship at His feet and hear His invitation to you and respond in such a way that proclaims, "Great is your faith." May God find us faithful until the very end. Amen.
Today's message. Pea Ridge United Methodist Church is a home for people of all backgrounds and ages. We rejoice in each new person that comes our way. Our goal is to enable you to make faith in God a vital part of your everyday life by creating an environment where worship is meaningful and uplifting, where teaching from the Bible is relevant to life situations, where friendships are significant and prayer is practiced as a continuing communication with God. Are you looking for a church? Between churches? Perhaps burned out on church? Come give our church a try. We are Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, 1209 North Davis Street in Pea Ridge, Arkansas. Find us on Facebook, and our web address is pearidgeumc.net. Or you can call Pastor Jeremy Gross at 479-553-9585. Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, anchored in the past, moving toward the future, making disciples for Christ along the way.